All right. So September 18th is today. That's today. Yeah. So fall kickoff barbecue, that's after service. You're going to hear more about that. I have a little bit of a story surrounding this jersey, and it's a Wisconsin Badgers jersey. I don't like the Wisconsin Badgers, but we were going to shoot that video, and I didn't have a jersey, and so I thought, well, I could use a football jersey as part of my repertoire, and so I went looking for one. I looked in 4 different stores, could not find one. The only place that had them, they were $120, and they were closed. I was going to spend the money. So last second, I thought, oh yeah, there's that place on 99. What's the name of that place? Cascade. I go in there, and I'm like, I don't know if these guys are going to have anything. So I went in there, and I asked the gentleman. He was really nice. And I asked him, you know, do you have any jerseys? He goes, well, we don't hardly have any because of shipments and everything. He goes, there's a few over here. Somebody yells from the back, look at the rack. So he goes, oh, yeah. So he shows me this rack, and it's all of these random jerseys. And this one retailed for $128. And I bought this for $5. Thank you, Cascade. They were very nice. Yeah. And so exciting on a number of reasons today. And I want to pray for River City Church. Let's just do that real quick. Would you all do that with me? They have their big opening today. So, Lord, we just want to pray over River City. We want to pray, Lord God, that you would just bless them today and in the weeks to come. And, Lord, you've put this on their hearts. You don't do that for nothing. And so, Lord, we ask that you would anoint. We ask that you would bring some people there today and pray over Pastor BJ and Megan and the rest of the crew with Ben and Kayla and everybody. And we just pray over them and pray blessing on them today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. Okay. The Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama Crimson Tide. Unless you're from Alabama, you probably don't root too much for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Are there any Alabama fans here today? I doubt it. Now, why is that? It's because in the world of college football, if you don't keep track of that, they are always great. They're always great. They seem to get the best players. They're always great. And there are 131 Division I football universities in the United States. Division I, so that's the elite level, 131. And since 2009, Alabama has won 6 national championships. 6. It's ridiculous. I didn't root for them one time. And since 2008, Nick Saban, their coach, his teams have been number one at some point in the season every year. And, you know, I'm not going to root for somebody like that unless I'm from there. Okay. I watched a game a couple weeks ago where they played the University of Texas, and Texas just played so well. I was so rooting for Texas. They were up the whole game. Who do you think won? Alabama. And Alabama played terrible. They played awful. That's just not how they are. And so even when they play poorly, Alabama seems to still win. And their coach, Nick Saban, he consistently, as I said, recruits the best players. There's controversy about that, I suppose. But, you know, he coaches young men extremely well. And so he gets these players that are so talented. They're the cream of the crop. I mean, I'm sure these guys, these young men, are so full of pride and difficult to get them to be part of a team, but somehow he does it. And these players, if you watch them move on to the pros, they seem to be humble. They seem to play for the team. So Nick Saban really does a good job with those guys. I hate to admit it, but he does. And So again, I have rarely rooted for Alabama in my life, but I have to grudgingly respect their organization, their commitment to excellence, their attention to detail, and their consistency from year to year. I have to admit it. It is true. Now, in the game of football, maybe more than any other sport, this is debatable, but each person on the field needs to fulfill a role and on every play. And so the best teams, the best coached teams, all of the players on the field, they have a role to play for each play that they're doing. And the ones that do that the best usually win the game, unless your talent is so crazy over the other team. But usually that's the team that wins. The team that gets the most out of each player, and he does his job. And in football, success is winning games. And you might like to think, well, that's not really the goal, is it? You have these young men that you're building and building in and that kind of a thing. Well, yes, it is. Because if your football team, especially at a high level, if you don't win games, the coach is fired. That's the bottom line. Now, along that way, they do build into these young men, and that's how they win as well, because they get these young men to play together and to learn those values, which is great. And there's a great parallel to the church, and the Bible speaks very clearly how we, as the church of Jesus Christ, are to function to have success, okay? And in a little bit, I'm going to show you how these really two different subjects, football and the church, have a lot of similarities. So what is success for the church? That's what we're going to look at. So we have Matthew chapter 28, a familiar portion of Scripture, verses 18 through 20. It says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" All right, so according to Jesus, success for the church and success for us is defined as making disciples. That's what we do. That is success for us, making disciples. And in order to do that, we have to share Christ. We let people know the good news. We evangelize, that kind of thing. Once they make a decision for Christ, we have to help them to become a disciple of Christ, how to follow Jesus. I know when I became a Christian, if I wouldn't have had good discipleship, I don't think I would have made it. But I did. I had really good discipleship that didn't just last a few days. It lasted a long time, months and months. And thankfully, people stepped into my life and did that. So, what does it look like for a disciple to live for Christ? So, put quite simply, if we look to our left, we see experience God, walk with others, and serve the world. We don't have that up there for no reason. It's very simple, but it makes a lot of sense. And that's the picture of what a disciple of Christ does. Now, it's a simple-sounding message and goal, but it's what we need to be about. So how do we do this? And there's a lot of different methods. We have all different churches across the nation and across the world, and they all do it differently. They all have different methods, but they're all trying to make disciples. All right? And in the last verse, Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus didn't leave us alone to figure this out. He's with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, how are we to accomplish making disciples? Just as a successful football team works together play by play, each doing their part to win games, We must work together, each doing our part, moment by moment and day by day. That's every single one of us, okay? And it's not just showing up for church, even though I'm so glad you're here, but there's so much more. There's so much more, and it's so great. And I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is talking about the body of Christ. We're going to break this down just a little bit, okay? So it says this in verse 12. This will not be on the screen. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. All right, I'm going to stop there. So a football team has many positions, as many of you know, and each position fulfilling a different role. I mean, there's coaches that direct the team. There's a quarterback that directs the team. There's running backs that block, and they run with the ball. Linemen blocking for the ball carriers, wide receivers catching the ball and blocking, defense the same way. There's all different kinds of positions. Every person has a different role that they must fulfill. One team, many parts. So is the church. One body or team in many parts. And we all have a common, this is the, one of the real differences, is that we all have the common thread of the Holy Spirit, that if you accept Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. It's a mystery, and that's how we are born again, okay? When we accept Christ into our lives, and so as the church, we have this common thread of the Holy Spirit. And what does that do? The Holy Spirit does many, 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 many things, and without the Holy Spirit, we really can't do anything of value in this life, but in sports, there's something called momentum. And so there's different times during a match, during a game, whatever it is, whatever sport it is, where one side or one person will do better during a certain part of the game because they have momentum and suddenly they have confidence. Now, when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, the church, us, we have the possibility of having constant momentum. Because the Holy Spirit, we all have this common thread, and the Spirit does many different things, but if we are obeying what God has for us, each of us in the church, working together, loving one another, serving one another, we have the possibility of constant momentum. That it doesn't just go up and down, but it's a steady rise. It's a steady rise. That's the possibility with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, all right. Okay. The Holy Spirit helps us to do the work of ministry, each part fulfilling their roles. Now I'm going to read verse 15 through 17. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not believe belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, makes sense, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And I'm going to put this next one on the screen. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Many parts, one body. Just as God wanted them to be. Your gifts are not an accident. Your talents are not an accident. Yeah, this is something that we all deal with, right? We all deal with insecurities. At times in our lives, maybe we feel like, well, I don't have as many talents as somebody else. I don't have as many gifts as somebody else. The gifts you have, the talents that you have, the things that you do well, the way that you think, the way that you feel, who you are, the things that you can do, those are not by accident. And when we know Christ, Christ is asking us to fill your role in the body of Christ the way he has gifted you. Now, some of you might think, well, I can't sing like Rachel or Tammy or play the guitar like Joe back here or the drums like Chris or whatever. You might think that, oh, I can't do anything that anybody notices. And obviously, we can all do different things. I recently built from a kit that I purchased a windmill. And it's big, you know, it's probably 9 or 10 feet tall. And it's made of wood, very sturdy wood. And I went out there to build this thing. And see, I'm not like most of you guys that don't use any directions. If I do that, I'll never get something put together. Because my brain doesn't work like that, so I have to use the directions. And even using the directions, I tried 2 different times to build this thing, and it was all wrong. And I get all done, and I'm just forcing these bolts in. I'm like, this shouldn't be this way. And finally, I'm like, it's because it's not supposed to look like that. So then my wife comes in and says, I think these are all backwards. She just walks up and says it. All right. So I had to take it all apart and do it again. Now I have a nice windmill, and I love it. I love the windmill. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. We're all different. You know, I got a creative head. I got a creative mind. And that's great. I'm glad I do. But I envy those who can put things together. I envy you. I can look at something, and some of you can just look at it and go, oh, yeah, that goes in here, and this goes in here, and it works this way. You know those straps? This is not on my note. You know those straps that you put on the back of your truck or whatever that have the, I shouldn't even say this. This is embarrassing. And you put 2 of them together and you ratchet it down. Many of you know what I'm talking. Anybody have those in this room? Yes. Do you know that I have had to watch a YouTube video every time I use those, and I had to do it again yesterday. Yes. See? I'm just the guitar player. That's me. So we all can do different things, okay? We can all do different things. Okay. And you might think, well, okay, so you say that, well, I guess I can do a few things, but maybe some of you are like, well, yeah, but I can't really do anything. Let me just run through a bunch of stuff. Okay? Can you encourage a young person? Can you have a new couple over for dinner? Probably. Can you challenge and or encourage a couple in their marriage? Maybe just encourage them. Can you help decorate for the Kids Treat Fest event? That's coming up October 31st. Can you pray? Can you help to build a set for the Christmas play? Can you act? Can you help to cut out different shapes and designs for children's ministries? I bet many of you could do that. Can you teach a class? Can you share Christ with others with passion? Can you be part of a life group? Can you lead a life group? Now, some things we can say yes to that I just listed, and that's just, you know, a tiny bit of talents and things we can do. And some things we can't say yes to. And that's because we're all different, you know. But what can you do? What can you do? And, you know, it's pretty great that we're all different. Now, it causes some challenges sometimes with our emotions, with the way we think. But it also helps us to grow, which is such a great thing that you guys are here today. Because when we are able to be together as the church, you really grow. Because it's not easy all the time. And especially if you're an introvert, I often mention that. But it helps you to grow, because if you have, or if you're at odds with somebody, or you have difficulties, it helps you to grow, to be able to take care of those things and learn to speak life. You know, so we all grow through it. It's not always easy, but it's an awesome thing. And I'm so glad you guys are here today. We're all part of the body. Are you fulfilling your role? Now I'm gonna read verse 21 through 26. It's not gonna be on the screen, but hang with me. This is the last part of this portion of scripture in chapter 12. So here we go. I will try to read it with inflection. Here we go. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I love that. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. We won't go into that. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Equal, whether you're standing on the stage or sitting out there, we're all equal, okay? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I love that. Sometimes you might think, well, this person's getting more attention than me. Well, the Bible says you're supposed to rejoice in that. And that if some good things are happening to you, then we're all to rejoice with that. You know, we grieve with one another. If one part suffers, we all suffer. And as we grow more and more into our part in the body of Christ, you'll experience those things more because you get to know people. And so when somebody's hurting, you're going to have empathy, okay? And you're going to want to lift them up and encourage them, okay? We need each other. Every part, you are indispensable. That means we cannot do without you if we want to have success. Every person. You are created by God for good works. That's a good thing. And you're to function as part of the body. And we, as I said, we rejoice with each other. We grieve with one another. We lift one another up. We speak life. It doesn't matter what part you're fulfilling. You are crucial to the success of this church, of making disciples. Everybody say that with me, making disciples. Making disciples. Making disciples. That's what we're about. That's everything that we do is about eventually making disciples, okay? So if we're doing a play, you know, this is something I relate to because I've either written or been a part of many, many plays. I've lost count. It's over 30, so I don't know. But the cool thing about a play or a musical or something like that, some of you have been in those, some of you have not. That's okay. We all got our stuff that we do. But the thing is that as you do a play, and there's one that's being that has just been written by Val Coleman, and it's a great play that we're going to do at Christmas time. Super good. You guys need to really either be a part of it in some way because you don't have to just act in it. There's lots of things to do. I'm going to go over that in a second. But it's fantastic. And the thing about a play, some of you may have seen at the end of a play, you'll see the actors get all emotional and you're like, oh, brother, that's ridiculous. Why are they so emotional? Well, here's the thing, is that in a play or a musical or something like that, you are with these people a lot for like 3 months. And you get to know their struggles. If it's in a church, then you pray for them. You encourage them. They encourage you. And so by the time you're ready to present this thing, I've always said this, that the presentation itself for me is icing on the cake because it's all about the process and helping people to grow, making disciples, okay? That's what plays in the church are about, at least they are here at Bethel Church. And so it's just an example of everything we do is about making disciples. So So I just want to ask you, are you a part of this process? Are you fulfilling your role to help us win? Help us win. We need each other. We need you. Are you serving the church with the gifts and abilities that God has given you? Because we all have them. Now, I have an example here. I thought of this person the other day. And I'm just going to say her name. Her name is Kit Rediger. And she was part of my last church where I was. And she was part of the worship team. And she would always be in musicals. She'd be in choirs, those kinds of things. And Kit was an amazing person. There were other people that could probably sing better than Kit. She could hold a nice tune, you know, hold good pitch. But Kit was an amazing person. She would keep her eye out for small things that she could take care of without being asked. I can't tell you how many times that something I would either mention, oh, that door's so squeaky. We come through that every time for this scene. I got to do something about that. Okay, and then we'd go on to the next thing or whatever. Next thing I'd know, didn't squeak anymore. I thought to myself, I bet that was Kit. And then, but all kinds of things. Things you might think, well, that was just WD-40. Well, it probably was. But there's lots of other things. She would make gifts for people. She would make gifts for the whole team. Or, I mean, so many things. And I thought about her the other day. On my desk is still a coaster that Kit made when I was leaving that church. And it says Pastor Roger on it with music notes. It's really nice. And but she would do that for so many people, so many times. And I thought about this and I thought, that's one person. That's one person. And it wasn't even about the singing at all. She was always looking out, what can I do for somebody else? What a great attitude to have. She made such an impact, so much so that I emailed her the other day. Her husband, Kevin, is actually related to Teresa. And I just said, Kit, thank you so much. I just thinking about how you made a difference in so many people's lives. And she really, really did. And again, I say it's her doing who God created her to be. It wasn't really about being part of a program. It was her being who God called her to be, and she did it. And she just thought, I'm going to do these things for people. And she blessed so many people. I'm sure she still does. She was invaluable. Now, if you're not serving at this time, and you might be feeling a little bit guilty while I'm talking about this stuff, look, but you're kind of like, well, I want to. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Because it's really easy. If you want to get involved in something that the church is doing, now with your own life, yes, you can be the person who God has called you to be. And how he has created you. But we have lots of opportunities here, okay? And it's really, really easy to get involved. You may not know that. And so I'm going to show you. Now, down here, sorry, Steve, I'm out of the light. I will be back, okay? Can someone hand me a card? Can you hand me a card in the front, a Connect card? No, that's a wonderful envelope. I love that. Okay, here's one right here. Okay, thank you for the envelope. Okay, Connect card. Connect card. Yes. And is Lynn within the sound of my voice? Where are you? Over there. Will you get me one of those other cards out there, please? Or send your athletic husband, DJ, to get it, one of those other ones. Thank you. See, let's give Lynn a hand. She's such a great assistant at this church. And Connect card, this is in front of you. And you might think, well, I don't know how to get involved. Yeah, you do. You're going to know right now. because on this Connect card, it says, well, you can give your name and whatever information that you'd want to give. And by the way, if you put your email address, please do it legibly. Sometimes we're just doing, we're all guessing. So are you new to Bethel Church, that kind of thing? I would like information on, and it says serving, students, small groups, kids, or you can write something else in there if you like. Thank you, Lynn. Yes, Lynn, good job. That was fast. And so when you fill this out, all you got to do, just write what you're interested in, okay? And just write it on this card and just put it in one of those give boxes. Just do that. Just drop it in there. You can give it to an usher if you want. You can give it to a pastor or a director. But very simply, put it in that box back there. Now I'm going to show you something you may have never seen. This is a serve card. A serve card. I bet you didn't even know these were out there. Now you do. Now, it just says serve. It's out there just across the way here in a little holder. And it says serve, and it's very similar to what I just talked about. It says, I am interested in serving in, and there's all kinds of options. Audiovisual, Bethel Kids, Bethel Student Ministries, Cafe, Champions Club, Greeting Team, all kinds of things. Fill this out, hand it in. You will get a call from a person in that ministry, okay? Very, very easy. And we have recently done something really cool. Oh, thank you for that on the screen, which I could have referred to. Thank you, Lynn. So, that's funny. So, do you have the next screen? Yes, this is it. This is our website. Now, it's not the home page, but we have this great page now that is the serving page, okay? So all you got to do is type in medfordbethel.com/serving. Or if you forget about the serving word, just go medfordbethel.com, and at the very top it says serving or serve, one of the two. Anyway, and you just click on it. Now this thing that you're looking at, see it says audiovisual team, Bethel Kids, it's got all kinds of options underneath that it doesn't show. And all you got to do, if you're interested, you click the little green button. And then it'll ask you just a few questions. And so this is another way that you can let us know, and you will get a phone call from a leader in that ministry, because we want to give you every opportunity. Okay. All right. Now, I have a few things to mention from different ministries that they have needs for. Okay? Just to let you know. So, in kids' ministries, Pastor Ben and Susan Grison, they just do a fantastic job. I was just asking them the other day. They need more workers. And you might think, well, I like going to the service. Well, I'm glad that you do. But you can do it as little as once a month if that's all you want to commit to, and they'd be happy to have you. But they are in need of workers downstairs in the kids' ministries. And so audio, video. This is the guys and gals back there. They handle the computer where you get all of the everything that's up on the screen. There's the cameras for online. We have lots of remote cameras up here. And it's a great ministry. And you might think, well, I kind of like tech things, but I really don't know anything of how to do that. They will train you. They will train you. And Steve Smell, the incredible Englishman, Steve Smell, will help you. He's a whiz at everything going on with computers, with sound, everything. And to top it all off, he's a dashing, good-looking young guy. And he is very nice. He's very nice. And he'll help train you, okay? Now, youth. student ministries. That's Pastor Daniel, who was up here earlier. They are really in need. I'll just tell you just a need right now. They're in need of two female leaders that are 21 or older. And you might think, well, I don't know what to do. Oh, they'll show you what to do. But it's just about mentoring. So it's just encouraging and helping young female students. They meet during, like right now. And so the commitment would probably be whatever you could. But they need two female workers that will just help to mentor these young female students. And they would be so glad if you would do that. And so again, if you're, this interests you, these ways that we've shown you, the website, the cards, whatever, or you can talk to one of the people in the ministry. It's very easy. We have a Christmas play coming. We have sets, decor, stage crew, ushers, greeters. There's all kinds of things. If you want to be involved in some way but don't want to act in it, then there's so many things. Val Coleman, where are you, Val? Are you? You're right there. Most people know Val. Yeah, she does about everything. And she handles a few other things I'm going to mention here. She's a person to talk to. But again, fill out a card. Look at that. There's so many things to do. Hospitality. There's greeters and ushers that you were probably greeted today when you came in. So easy. Just be nice. I love nice people. Don't you? I love nice people. In these days, I really appreciate nice people. But that's all you got to be is nice. You know, and so, yeah, that's once a month. And you can still come to the service. It's a great thing. Okay, then there's office help. We need help in the office, mostly with, it's usually for kids ministries, and we have several people that do it now, but we need more. So there are, for these different seasonal things that they do for kids, whether it's Treat Fest coming up. There's lots of things to cut out and packages to put together and different things like that. I mean, these people do this, and I mean, I got to hand it to them. They are faithful that do it, but we need more. So you might have some time. They'll need it for Christmas. All the things they do for Christmas and then Easter and all of that, and they do it well ahead of time, so we need help there. If you have time during the day and you just want to come down and cut some things out, put some things together, give the church a call. Just call the church office. And all this stuff, you can call the church office if you want, or look at the website and send us something there or use the cards. It's a great thing. Yes, and so, all right. I don't know what people 65 and over want to be called. I've heard some of you don't want to be called seniors. I'm still a few years away, my friends. My birthday was a few days ago. It's getting scary now. Mature? I don't know. What do you want to be called? But anyway, 65 and over, let's just say that. We're putting together a Thanksgiving feast and a hymn sing for 65 and over, and if some of you are a few years before that, we will not turn you away, I promise. But we're doing that, but it's going to take some work, and we have a small team that's helping to put this together. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be lots of fun, and so that's in, obviously, November. It's going to be the week before Thanksgiving, the week before, remember that. Probably on Tuesday, the team of people that has been put together to do this event, they have not met yet, but I have talked to each one, and my wife is going to help lead that group. And so if you would like to help with that, yeah, let us know. Let us know. There'll be something to do. Facebook hosts, our services are on Facebook, and so we need Facebook hosts that can say, welcome. Welcome all of you people that are watching, and or whatever you need to do. Val will tell you what to do. And so talk to Val or, again, these other things. Worship team, contact Tammy Calandrino. That's your best contact. Tammy, are you in here? Are you back there? Okay. Tammy has been the worship team coordinator for many years, and that means that this is the kind of thing that she does. So if you're interested in being on the worship team, you might think, oh, you guys are so good, which there are a lot of good musicians and singers up here. But yes, it's open. And so, you know, if you've got some ability on an instrument or singing, that kind of thing, and you like our music, you love our music, talk to Tammy, and then or one of these other things, and she will help you get started there. Okay. And then the last thing I want to say about all this stuff is that there's a newcomer's dinner October 20th. Okay. Newcomer's dinner. That means if you've come to the church for a year or less, you've never been to another newcomer's dinner. I mean, you could come again, I guess, if you want. But again, we won't turn you away. But no, we'd love to get to know you. We'd love for you to get to know us, the staff, and different leaders in the church. That's where you do that. And we have a great meal together. We play games. It's fun. The games are easy. Don't be afraid of the games. It's really great. So if I could get the worship team to come on up, I'm just going to close here with four things that are about making disciples. Everybody say, making disciples. Thank you. Making disciples. That's what we're about. Making disciples. And everything that I'm talking about, that's what we're doing. We're encouraging people. Okay? And these are the things that are making disciples. The first thing is we share the word. So that's evangelizing. But it's not necessarily on a street corner. It's not necessarily that. It's sharing with a friend, sharing with a neighbor. It's any way that we can evangelize, any way that we can share the love of Jesus. And it's the love of Jesus. That's what draws people. And that's what drew me. It wasn't people telling me the many wrong things I was doing. That did not help. What did help was people I didn't even know, like my next door neighbor. I got to know him. He was a youth pastor. And I'd be out, I've said this before, I've washing my car and drinking beer and doing what I did every day. And he wasn't afraid of that. He just came on over and would talk to me. And once in a while, he'd give me an album that was sort of Christian, but because he didn't want to give me something that was too Christian. Anyway, he was such a nice guy, and he was instrumental in leading me to Christ. And it was because somebody like that got into my world and was nice to me, and they loved me, and he wasn't afraid to tell me that Jesus would help me in my life. And when I came to a crisis moment, those are the moments I remembered, is somebody who loved me right where I was. And that's what you can do. It's easy. It's easy. Okay. Second thing, we show the word. So it's in how we live. It's in how we live. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but I can tell you, as someone who a long time ago was on the other side, until I was 21, I've been on the other side. I watched Christians. I knew who they were. I knew who they were, and the ones that were, and when God would bring me around to, so that I was looking at my own life, seeing where I was headed, and that drugs were taking me down to a place, a dark place where I was contemplating suicide, and I knew I didn't want to be there anymore. I remembered those people. And I remembered that they had hope in their lives. That and many other things, it drew me to God. Okay? It's how we live. Third one is we teach the word. Of course we do. We train followers to be more like Christ. So we do that in so many different ways here at the church. We're making disciples. We're teaching. And we want to do that more and more. Okay? And the last one, we serve the world, going to different areas of our world to teach and preach and to care for people. Again, that can be your local community. It can be your neighborhood. It can be across the world as we do. And this Wednesday night, we have two wonderful, wonderful people, Kieran and Jamie Sterling. I would encourage you to come this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. They're just cool people, and they're serving the Lord for all the right reasons. And I just love those guys. It's fantastic. All right, youth ministries, children's ministries, women's ministries, men's ministries, senior ministries, missions, worship, creative arts, audio, video, all these things. It's all part of the church. One body, one team with many parts. That's you. That is you. It's not just somebody next to you. That's you, okay? Each one fulfilling the part you've been designed to do, working together. And we need each other for success. And as we continue to work together, serving with a grateful heart, that's huge. Serving with a grateful heart, okay? It's going to get you through a lot of difficult situations. There's going to be no stopping Bethel Church. We will literally make thousands of disciples. Thousands. And you think, thousands? We've already made thousands of disciples. This church has been around a while. Thousands of disciples. And we want to see thousands more. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. The Alabama Crimson Tide. Many parts or positions on the field, one team. Each doing their part, and they have incredible success. But their success is different than our success. Bethel Church, many parts, many gifts and talents, one team, changing our world through making disciples. That's what we do. And that's what we're going to continue to do with all of our strength and all of our heart. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So if you have not been involved like you think you should, so easy to do, okay? Got the cards, just drop them in the back here in the little box, or hand it to someone in the church, an usher or a leader in the church. We'll make sure it gets to the right person, or you can go to the website. There it is. And amen. Amen.